Hey there, Roamers. Welcome to the Roam in Your Home podcast and YouTube channel, where we get to hear from full-time RVers, unpack their experiences, and learn actionable advice to help you roam in your home too. I'm your host, Jamie Williams. Thank you so much for being here. Buckle up, my friend. Let's get ready to go on an adventure together right now. Hey, friends. Welcome to episode number 4. Wow, that went by fast. Thank you so much for being here. Just a quick introduction in case this is your first time tuning in. I'm Jamie from Roam in Your Home, and my husband Randy and I have been full-time RVers since 2017. And the goal of this podcast is to give people a glimpse of RV life and hear from real full-time RVers that are living the dream. We pull back the curtain and ask all the questions and get all the answers of what we wish we knew before we started full-time RVing. My goal is to share these real-life conversations with you each week so you can get the information that you need to be able to roam in your home too. Today, I am super excited to talk with Patty and Shane from Gills on Wheels. You will love getting to know them and hearing all the great tips they share. They are empty nesters that sold their home for a fifth wheel and recently also bought a truck camper to have even more fun adventures. I loved this conversation. I know you will too, so I won't make you wait any longer. Please help me give a warm welcome to Patty and Shane. Hi, Patty and Shane. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Hey. Thank you. Thanks so much for having us. We're super excited to be here.
Oh, I am so excited that you guys are here. I've been looking forward to this conversation all week. I just absolutely love following your adventures on Instagram. You guys have such great information and helpful tips for all of our listeners. So I'm excited to learn from you and to share all of your information for our listeners as well.
Thank you so much. Yeah, we appreciate that. We love helping out other RVers, weekenders, full-timers, you know, everybody. Even want to be RVers, we like helping them out as well. Yeah, we enjoy that.
Awesome. So to begin, tell us, how long have you guys been on the road?
So far, full-time, we've been on the road for 3.5 years, full-time in the fifth wheel and in our truck camper.
We had talked about doing it way before COVID, and then we sold the house during COVID. We actually had to put it off because the house was supposed to go on the market, what, like April, I think? I think it was going to go on the market in April, and then, of course, everything shut down. But then we just decided, like, a few months later, we're like, okay, we're just going to go ahead and do it anyways. Go ahead, put it on the market, and let's do this. But yeah, we had talked about this for many years before COVID.
Yeah, a lot of people kind of realize with COVID that, yeah, let's stop putting things on hold, and
right,
you never know what tomorrow's going to bring, and let's do this now.
Yeah, absolutely. It really pushed us to be like, okay, we're definitely doing this now. But yeah, we had actually talked about it, oh my goodness, maybe 20 years ago, I think. When we bought our very first RV, we just loved it so much. We were like, when we retire, you know, let's live in our RV full time. And at the time when we talked about it, it was mostly, you know, older retirees. And that's what we thought. We would have to wait until we were, you know, much older to be able to do it.
That's what I love about the new RV population is no longer like the older retired people. And that's what we thought too, is like, oh, that's something that you do when you're older.
Right.
I think I heard a few years ago, I don't know what the latest was, but like the largest RV population now is, I heard, between 35 and 55. And it was like, oh my gosh, that's so awesome.
That is very cool. That's most of our demographic is about 35 to 55 that follow us. So that makes sense.
That's so cool. And I'm so glad for everyone that can actually live their dream now and not have to wait for retirement, because some people, unfortunately, don't even make it. So get out there and do it now. There's no promise of tomorrow.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So is it just you two in the RV then?
Yes, it is just Shane and I. We are empty nesters, our youngest. When did Kobe graduate from college? 2 years ago? 3 years ago?
Right before we left. That's what we were waiting on to hit the road, was for him to...
Yeah.
To graduate college.
Right. So it's just us. We have two grown sons and they're off on their own. Our oldest bought his first house. Our youngest is actually an RVer like us. Yeah, we are just by ourselves out here.
That's so cool. And so what made you guys decide RVing? Like, was it just to get out and see more things, have more experiences, or was there anything in particular?
No, right. just that we had both grown up doing this kind of thing, like starting in tents. I don't know that my family ever had an RV, but Patty's did. And then just throughout the military, when we were stationed stateside, we started in a tent stateside too, but that didn't last long. So we bought an RV stateside. We've been doing it for a long, long time.
Yeah. Also, it's like nomad life is in our blood, because with Shane being in the Air Force for so many years, we would move every couple of years to a different country, a different state, whatever it might be. And we traveled all the time. So it's always been in our blood, I guess. So we were like, okay, we're not overseas traveling anymore. We haven't even seen really the United States. So we're like, let's get an RV and see, you know, our own backyard.
I love that. Well, first of all, Shane, thank you for your service.
Thank you.
And I absolutely love that you guys grew up this way. So my husband, Randy, and I, we knew nothing about RVing. Our families never camped. We never traveled. And this was so new to us that we had no clue what we were doing. And we didn't know if we would like it or not. And so we actually started doing travel therapy. We're both physical therapist assistants. And we decided, since we don't have any children and somebody's going to pay us to travel, what are we waiting for? And instead of, you know, packing, unpacking, and living in like furnished condos, we would buy an RV and always be able to sleep in our own bed. But we had no clue. And when our families, you know, heard that we were going to buy an RV, they were like, you guys are crazy. And we wondered too, like, are we crazy or are we going to love it? And let's just see. And we absolutely love it. So we always say, gosh, we wish we'd grown up like this, because there's so many things that we missed. And that's so cool. So how many RVs have you guys had then, like from the beginning?
I think counting the truck camper, four.
Yeah. Not a whole lot. When Shane first retired and we moved back to the States, we weren't sure what kind of RV we wanted to buy yet. So we rented is what we would do. We would get together with his family and do lots of camping trips. And we rented several sizes of travel trailers to check it out. We also did that in North Dakota when we lived there before we bought our very first. And that's always a tip that we give. Like, if anyone asks us, what's your best tip to give, is to rent an RV and like really camp in it and see like what fits your lifestyle and your family the best.
That is such a great tip. We did not do that. And that is so great, because there's so many times too that people have no clue what all is involved. They think, oh, it's just easy. You just, you know, get in and go.
Right.
And they have no clue what like hookups mean and, you know, black tank, gray tank. They have no clue what those mean. In fact, we didn't know either. We were YouTubing everything at the beginning. And so that is very, very good advice, to just rent and just to try to figure it out and see if this is something that you really do want to do. So I know that you guys have your truck camper too. And what is your other RV?
We have a Grand Design Solitude fifth wheel. It's 42 feet long.
It's just an all-season fifth wheel. It's got separated rooms. It's got an upstairs living room, downstairs kitchen, and an upstairs bedroom in the back.
Nice. Awesome. How did you choose this fifth wheel? Did you guys go to RV shows? Did you look online or watch YouTube videos? How did you decide on this one?
Well, the decision, I think she agreed, but the decision was mine. The prior year to buying it, it was at RV shows is where we went and looked in almost every RV at the show, because we knew we wanted a fifth wheel. So we would go in them, and the year before, I had found this floor model that we have now, but we didn't pull the trigger and buy it. So I waited till the next year. Next year, the upgraded one was out, the 2018. So that's when we bought it right there from the show floor.
Yeah, we had known for a couple of years that we really wanted a Grand Design, because we knew they were built for full-time living, and that was what we were buying the fifth wheel for. Even though we weren't full-time yet, we knew that this was what we were going to live in. And so I think we had met someone at a campground that had a Solitude. Remember that we went inside their Solitude, and Shane was like, okay, I really like this. I think another one of our friends had a Grand Design. And so everybody always talked about how great they were. So we knew we wanted that. And then Shane saw the floor plan of our fifth wheel at the RV show is where we saw it. And that's where we purchased it. The next year we waited, which we never do. We're normally one of those that like pulls the trigger and then regrets it later, but we did wait a year.
Oh, that's so cool. So you actually bought at the RV show then?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did.
And did you find that at the RV show you got a really good discount?
Yeah, we did actually, because we had been researching them, and if you go to dealerships and they've got the price on there, we got this one for a little over $20,000 cheaper than what it would have been at the RV dealer.
Yeah,
that's exactly what we found. Our first one was a 40-foot fifth wheel, and we just happened to go look at it at an RV show only because we drove to the dealer to look at it, and they were like, oh, it's not here. It's at the RV show down the road, which we didn't even know was happening. And when we drove to it, it was like, wow, this price is way better than what they were advertising. So we learned quickly that, yeah, if you want to buy an RV show. They're really doing some good discounts there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would suggest, like, if you could find like a local one near you. I mean, I'm sure people still buy them at like the big Tampa show and Hershey show and stuff. But to me, I feel like it's just better at like a little smaller RV show, I feel like.
Yeah, normally you don't take the one that they're showing you off the floor. We had to go pick ours up at a dealership. We bought it from them, and then we picked up the same model and everything, brand new, without a bunch of people in and out of. We picked it up at the dealership.
Yes, that's exactly what happened to us. And that's a great tip, Patty, too, is to try to find a smaller one. And like I said, that's what we did. Our RV show was like in a mall parking lot for us to see. And it was like such a great experience because we've been to the Tampa show several times and that's awesome. But I don't think we would have gotten the service that we, had at the little mall parking lot RV show that we would have had at, Tampa, because there's just so many people and just not enough help there to actually do that one-on-one that we got. So that's a great tip.
Yeah, I agree. It's just too many people at those big RV shows.
It really is. So I'm so curious. So you have the truck camper too. Where do you put that when you're towing your fifth wheel?
So we have like our home base campground where our fifth wheel is right now is in Texas, right outside of San Antonio, Texas. And so they have a storage lot there at the campground. And so we keep either the fifth wheel or the truck camper there.
Oh, that is great. So we always talk about that because we ended up during COVID, because we weren't able to do a travel contract, we were stationary and chomping at the bit to like go and do and make up for lost time. So we ended up selling our 40-foot fifth wheel and bought a 20-foot travel trailer for just a bucket list adventure mobile for like a year to be able to go more places and do more things. And it's been now 2 years and we're like RV shopping every single day because we're over being in something so little like all the time. But we also think about, gosh, we would love to keep it too because we are able to go so many more places than we could in the big 40-foot fifth wheel. So I love that you have like the option, and that's a great idea to have, a small thing and then the bigger one, and you can just kind of choose wherever you're going. I love that.
Right. Yeah. So with our fifth wheel, it's mostly stationary in Texas. We're work campers. If we were to like, okay, I really want to go work camp in Michigan next summer or something, we would definitely want to take our fifth wheel with us. Our truck camper is more for like, we're doing longer trips, but we're just not staying in one place very long. So we're moving a lot more than we would in the fifth wheel.
Oh, it makes it so much easier when you're just all ready to go. I love that. I love that you have the option of whatever you want, you can have. That's so cool. So where do you spend most of your time then? Do you think you're most of your time in your truck camper then?
Right now, yeah, definitely more in the truck camper. This year, we're pretty much 2024, we are almost full time in our truck camper for the entire year. There's like a month or two where we'll be back at our fifth wheel, but yeah, it's mostly full time. We're headed to Alaska this summer. So yeah, we'll be taking the truck camper along. So we'll be in the truck camper almost the whole entire year.
Alaska, that is so exciting. That is on our bucket list for sure. Have you guys ever been?
No, it's been on our bucket list for a really long time. So yeah, we're super excited about that. We have several of our friends that are going to be going with us and traveling up there as well. So that it's going to be a lot of fun. We're super excited.
Oh, can't wait to follow along on your adventures. That's going to be awesome. So I really want to find out, three things that you love about your RV. And it's totally up to you if you want to talk about your truck camper or your fifth wheel or both, whatever you like. But I just want to give the listeners some ideas of things that RVers actually really love that you might not, even consider when you're shopping. So tell us some things that you guys love.
Well, the fifth wheel, some things I really like are just the space. When you're in a real small one, it's nice to go to a little bit bigger one for more elbow room. I also, in the fifth wheel, I like the separated rooms where my kitchen and bedroom and living room are separate. It's not like one solid floor. And then to me, the other thing I like on the fifth wheel versus like a travel trailer or something, it's easier to tow for me.
Yeah, that's true. So for the truck camper, the three things that we really love about the truck camper is we can move more often and we can kind of go anywhere. Like you were saying earlier, like we're able to stay in national parks, which we couldn't do a lot of times before. With the fifth wheel, we like being able to do that. We can go off grid because we have solar. So we have solar on here. We didn't have that on the fifth wheel. And then we could just, park anywhere with the truck camper. We can a regular parking spot at a grocery store or whatever, which is super nice. And then I think another thing I really like about it is because it's a small space, I think it kind of pushes us to be more outside. In our fifth wheel, like we could, you know, you can live in there and never even go outside and be perfectly fine, which we do still get outside with it. But I think with the truck camper, it really pushes us to get out and explore more and get out and hike and, yeah, just enjoy the outdoors a lot more.
I love it. Because, like, the truck camper is more your vehicle to your adventure instead of, like, the fifth wheel is, like, your home in adventure. But yeah, I love that because a lot of people will buy the RV as your home, and it is. It's your home on wheels. Mm-hmm. But sometimes when you do that smaller, you know, the truck camper, just our little smaller travel trailer, it's like, this is our vehicle now. Like now, because it's small, we can go more places and have more adventure. And it is so nice. And I love that you have the, you know, best of both worlds. And Shane, let me go back to what you were saying with the towing. So many people don't realize how much easier it is to tow a fifth wheel than a travel trailer.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I mean, for me, a travel trailer, you got to put on the sway bars and all that stuff. If not, it's going to rock pretty good on the road. But a fifth wheel, it's easier to hitch up, a hook up to it. You can see the hitch right in the back of the truck. And then going down the highway, to me, it's just more sturdy with it being able to be on the fifth wheel hitch versus your little ball on your bumper. Just a lot easier. And also, when you're pulling into some of these tighter RV parks, it's easier to turn. I mean, you can turn it almost 90 degrees, or some of them can turn 90 degrees. And you can get into these parks much easier with a fifth wheel versus a travel trailer that's going to hit your bumper or what have you if you cut it too far.
I'm so glad you talked about that, because that's something that you really don't know until you get both and who is going to plan on getting both, right? And so you don't really know it until you kind of learn the hard way. Thankfully, we started with the fifth one. We learned quickly, wow, this is so stable, so easy to tow. Then when we went to the travel trailer, we're like, wow, even with the anti-sway and all that, it's so different. And we're thankful we didn't start out that way, or we would have thought like all RVs are like this. And so we were glad to know the difference, because that's something that a lot of people don't talk about. So I'm glad you mentioned it. That's so good. Well, now that you have talked about the three things that you love about both of the fifth wheel and the truck camper, what are some things that you guys don't love?
So for me, I'll do the truck camper again. Probably like the small space. Like it can get, even though it's big and we have a slide, you know, there's plenty of room for us. But there's still times where it's like the other day, it was raining all day long. So we were kind of stuck in the truck camper. So then it's like, okay, you know, it starts to get like close in on you a little bit. And then the truck camper model that we've got is a wet bath, which works great. And we, you know, we don't really have any issues with it, but it would be nice to have a dry bath. That would be better and easier. You don't have to dry it out every time. Like you have to dry it out to be able to use the restroom or go back in and do your hair, makeup, whatever it is that you're doing. Gosh, I don't know if there's a third thing that I don't like about the truck camper. Maybe. I'm not sure if there's three things that I dislike.
That's so good that you really like a lot of stuff. And I'm sure you guys heard of that 80-20 rule where you're going to get 80% of what you like and 20% of what you don't like. And sounds like you like 95% of everything. And I love the point of the wet bath, because I knew you had to dry it out, but I didn't really think about that. You really have to dry it out to go back in and do your hair and makeup and go to the bathroom. And, you know, it's not like so hard, but it is kind of a pain. I can see that. So that's a good point.
Yeah, that's the only thing. Like nobody wants to go back and sit on the wet toilet. Like that's not
right.
Not fun.
Well, tell me something, Shane, about the fifth wheel that you wish that you could change.
One more thing about the truck camper for me is having to put it on the truck, because
you have
about maybe an inch on either side to get it in the bed the right way. So when we take it off, that sometimes can aggravate. And I've done it a couple of times in one shot, and sometimes it's taking me like 25.
Yeah.
So it depends. I mean, you may be at it for 10 minutes. You may be at it for 45 minutes.
That's
one thing I really don't care about. But once it's on there, it's great. As far as the fifth wheel, first thing would be you're limited to the parks you can go to. You know, there's a bunch of them out there that are really, really nice parks, but they only fit a 32-foot, or they only fit with one slide or something like that. So you're limited into these parks that are much larger, and being bigger means they're more expensive. Then another thing is the fuel mileage difference. Pulling the fifth wheel, that thing gathers so much headwind that I get like 8.5 miles a gallon. And that adds up over if you're going to, you know, Montana or what have you, but just around close, it's not too bad. And then the third thing that I would say would be the maintenance. There's a lot of maintenance on the fifth wheel over time. There's a lot of different places stuff can go wrong, whereas the truck camper is kind of compact and you can see everything all at the same time. And just makes it easier for the maintenance stuff on in the truck camper.
Those are all really, really good things for people to consider. You're right. Yeah, the miles per gallon, I don't think we've ever gotten more than 8.5 when we're towing the big rig. And even with the smaller truck, smaller RV, it's the same thing. It's like, oh, so that's good to know that you get a lot better gas mileage with the truck camper too. And I never even thought about taking it off and putting it back on, how difficult that could be. You have to get it right or you're going to be working at it for a while. So good points with that. And then since you guys have really had a lot of experience with RVing, I want to find out, I'm so curious, like, what are some things that you love with your, you know, RV accessories? I'm sure they're different probably for the fifth wheel and then the truck camper, but what are some things like that you would say, oh, we have to have this. If we were to change RVs, we're definitely bringing this, or you would recommend somebody else get if they're just newly starting out.
Yeah. So many great things and things that are like for us, like kind of must haves. First would be like to protect your stuff as a surge protector. Like that's a number one must have for us. And we think, you know, any RVer, like you should have a surge protector that you plug your 50 amp or 30 amp into before you plug it into the pedestal at a campground. You just never know. Like we've been to some campgrounds and I'm like, oh, I don't even know if I feel comfortable like plugging in the surge protector, you know? So it's like, that's very top of our list.
For me, it more comes down to safety would be, we have RV lock, and the RV lock allows you to, you know, you don't have to carry your keys around. You got to have a keypad, a digital code. There's key fobs that go to it. So if it's raining or what have you, you can unlock and lock it from inside your vehicle. It's just a great sense of security, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I don't know if a lot of people know, like a lot of RV locks can be unlocked with like everyone's key, like they're kind of, what do they call them?
But not RV locks. Just
No. I'm saying like
a door.
Yeah, whatever comes on your RV, your normal door. A lot of times people's keys at a campground would fit into yours. Like they don't make them all separate. So that's why we like RV lock, because then we feel safer knowing for sure that no one can get into our RV with their RV lock, RV key, sorry.
Yeah, that is such a good point because nobody knows that, and RV dealers are not telling you that. So yeah, we learned that pretty quickly, but that is like crazy when we first heard that. We're like, how could that even be legal? But it is. So it's nice to have, yeah, the separate keypad and that safety peace of mind that nobody's coming in that you don't want there. So that's a really good one. Do you guys have any other ones?
I would say too, like our snap pads, or like to have that underneath your jacks on your, that come on your RV. They're just metal. And like if you're parked on concrete or something, like it's just not as sturdy. So if you've got a rubber foot on there, a snap pad, that's something good to have. What's one for you?
Back to snap pads, because they work in sand and stuff, and some of these places we go off the road on, the ground is not level, there's holes, there's sand, soft dirt, and these snap pads take the pressure off the leveling system where it doesn't dig in the ground and cause it to basically sink.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. But I mean, just gosh, it's hard to choose because there's like so many things that we love.
On the fifth wheel, one of them is a water softener.
Oh, definitely.
You get in some of these parks, mm-hmm, and they've got super hard water like Texas.
Yeah.
And the water softener really comes in handy for that.
Or a filter as well. Water filter also, because yeah, that's a really big one, because I mean, like we drink a lot of water. I'm sure most people do. And you want to make sure, you just don't know what's coming in from a campground or anywhere. Like if we're boondocking, we may fill up at a gas station, but we don't really know how great that water is. It'll say potable, however you say it, but you just don't really know. So it's nice to have some kind of filter, you know, to filter your water, especially for your drinking water.
Yeah, we agree. We have a filter on the outside and then a filter on the inside. When we had our fifth wheel, we had another filter on our refrigerator. So it was like, yeah, you can't filter too much, you know, but those are really, really good things to have our listeners keep in mind when they're, you know, shopping for their RV. So that's good. You know, I don't know if you guys, since you've been doing this for a while, if you were, you know, a little bit concerned about traveling full time in your RV, if you were thinking like things would be a lot more difficult than they are. Is there anything that you were surprised that it's way easier than you thought it would be?
Yes. Boondocking.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
I was thinking out there in the middle of nowhere by yourself and, you know, just kind of, I don't know, nervous about it. But once we've done it a few times, that's our go-to thing now. We would much rather boondock than stay in a park with 85 other people. But I mean, the people don't bother me, but it's just, it gets crowded, and out there it's just You're out there by yourself, and it's a lot of fun out there for me.
Yeah, a lot easier too than we thought it would be, because we were like so nervous with our fifth wheel. We never had solar put on, we never boondocked in it, but like I'm telling you, it's addicting. As soon as you go one time, you're like, okay, this is amazing. It's even more fun with your friends around and stuff. We just did it with a bunch of friends, and that was even more fun. But yeah, we just kind of like being out there by ourselves, and if you like that kind of stuff, definitely look into boondocking. Don't be afraid, at least give it a try. But then another thing that I think that really surprised us was because we had heard like so many people talking about, oh my gosh, like because we started in 2020 and, you know, during COVID and everything, people are like, oh, we can't find campgrounds. We can't ever find a place to camp. And we've never had an issue. Like if we can't find a campground that has a spot for us or whatever, then we just call another one and there's always going to be somewhere around. Like we've never had that issue. I mean I'm sure people do sometimes, I guess, depending on where you are. Like I know Florida in the winter gets pretty crazy, but we still know tons of people that are able to get around and camp in Florida as well.
I love that. That's so true. We heard that too during COVID, and we were already RVers. We're like, oh no, is this really gonna put a damper on where we could travel? It looks like there's nowhere, you know, that's available anymore. And I think that was a big scare tactic or something, because we've never had an issue with anything.
Right.
And then Shane, your point with the boondocking too, where you guys were talking about how much easier it is than you thought. We thought the same thing. We had our fifth wheel for 4 years. You know, we're always afraid of boondocking. We didn't know how to do it. Didn't really know where to go. And then we bought the little one so that we can learn how to do it and be able to go more places. So we did 10 weeks in Colorado. We only boondocked for like, it was like a week and a half, because we found a really, really nice RV resort that we just got spoiled. But we were so surprised to find out that, okay, I really thought I would be scared every night. Like, can I really sleep like this with nobody around? And it was so surprising. Immediately, we felt super secure and peaceful and kind of kicking ourselves that we didn't try it earlier.
Yeah, same. Also, Colorado, oh my goodness, had some beautiful boondocking spots when we went through last summer. It was wow.
Yes, that is our new favorite place for sure.
And another thing with it is when you're boondocking, to me it's better scenery than being in a campground. Like if you're in a campground and you're maybe in Colorado, you may not get to see like the mountain side and stuff, whereas you're boondocking, you can just almost basically park right up next to the mountain or whatever might be the attraction.
That's so true. When you're in an RV park, you really have to drive to the scenery. And when you're boondocking, you can open your door and just enjoy it in your backyard. We boondocked at the bottom of a beautiful mountain, and it was like every day. Can you believe we're looking at this? Like we're eating our dinner looking at this. Like this is so fun. And why is there only like 3 other RVs in view? Because you would think like this would be so packed because it was so awesome. But yeah, so well, that definitely answered my next question of where do you guys prefer to stay. And I agree, boondocking is just priceless when you can find a beautiful view, and especially if your friends are there. That's what we've never boondocked with anyone, so we were always saying like, how fun would it be with our friends here too? Like that is just the best of both worlds. That's so cool that you're able to meet up with some friends and all have so much fun together. Do you guys also stay at some RV parks? I know you said your kind of your home base is an RV park, right, in Texas?
Yeah, we have a home base in Texas that we were going there. I think it's been about 8 years or so now that we've been going to that campground. It was near where we were living in San Antonio, and we just love it there. You know, the owners and everything, everybody there is like family to us now. But yeah, I mean, we still like, we're actually at a campground right now. We still love campgrounds. But, you know, for us, if we were to choose like boondocking, especially in the truck camper. Now, if we're in the fifth wheel, we're probably going to still stay at a campground because we don't have any solar or anything on the fifth wheel yet. But people totally boondock with fifth wheels and Class A's and buses. Like we had our little, we were just at Quartzsite, and where all of us were boondocking, like there was one of each RV out there. Like all of us had a different RV, and everybody had their own way to, you know, get solar and power to themselves.
It's nice every once in a while, because like we pulled off the road, we've been here for a couple days. In this truck camper, our tanks are so small, so we like every once in a while, you know, get a long hot shower, be able to do the laundry, catch up on the cleaning or what have you, grocery shop, everything like that. And then we'll be back on the road here tomorrow.
That does make it so nice. We agree. There's nothing like the view of boondocking, but there's also nothing like full hookups.
Right.
And just like no worries about, yeah, water or conserving. You can, you know, take longer showers. And yeah, it is. It's nice to have the opportunity to camp anywhere, because then you really appreciate each one, you know, for what it is, like the views or the conveniences or everything. I love that we have as RVers so many different options, like with Harvest hosts and Boondockers Welcome and, you know, just state parks and different things. And depending on your size rig, you can really have, you know, a pick of everything if you want. So I love that.
Yeah, I think that's probably like the best part of RVing is maybe you do want to go boondock, but then you want to go to a campground, or you might want to go to a state park or national park or whatever it might be. So you really have a choice to, you know, make whatever you want your backyard. And if RV resorts are your thing, you know, and you love all the amenities and that's what you want, you know, that's great. Like everybody has their own wants and needs and they'll change. Like ours has changed since we started. We started out, we were just traveling in the fifth wheel and just doing campgrounds and work camping and then, you know, going from one work camp job to the next. And then we were like, you know what, we really want to travel more and see more things. So that's why we changed and got the truck camper. And then now we do it different. And that's the great thing about RV life is you can.
And there's another great thing about it. What I think anyways, is we travel, we're from Texas and then we travel up through, like y'all were talking about, Colorado, Utah, all that up to Montana, Yellowstone. And every time we would turn a corner, Patty would be like, oh my gosh, look at that. and then roll off a whole film full of pictures. And then we turn the next corner and then she'd like, oh my God, can you believe that? Look at that. And that's cool to me.
Yeah, he's always like, how many times are you going to say, oh my gosh, that's so beautiful?
It's funny, when we first started out, so we were in Daytona Beach, Florida, and we took our first travel therapy contract was in San Francisco, California. So we were literally East Coast to West Coast. Wow. We're from Ohio, but we've never been anywhere besides, you know, the states in between Ohio and Florida. So we've never been west of like Indiana. And so when we were going through, it was like, this is our new favorite place. And then like the next day, this is our new favorite place. And I didn't realize how many times I was posting that. My friends were like, okay, what is your favorite? And I'm like, oh, I didn't even realize I was saying that. Cause it was like, oh my gosh, every place is my new favorite place. And it is hard. And now I'm going to ask you the hardest question of all. Well, first of all, before I ask you that, how many states have you guys been in?
24.
I think it's 24.
I think 24 in our RV or travel trailer. We've been to a lot more traveling, but we only count the ones that we've actually been in with the truck camper or with the fifth wheel, and we have to stay overnight.
Yeah, landing gear has to be down for it to count.
Yes.
I love that.
Yep, that's how we make it count.
That's a good rule. So out of all those beautiful places that you've been, what would you say your top five is?
All right, so this is, and this might surprise some people, so number five for us is Arkansas. I think because it's a beautiful state and it's just so not talked about. People talk about, you know, Utah and Colorado and Montana, but once you go to Arkansas, it's like, holy cow, this place is amazing. Like, never thought it would be so beautiful. It really is a beautiful state. We loved Arkansas. And then number four, you want to say number four?
Yeah, four for us would be probably Colorado, just for the different hikes, the different scenery. You know, and I'm a big road guy, so actually their roads were not too bad compared to some other places.
Right.
That's a big deal for me.
Yeah. Number three, another one that might surprise people, was Idaho. We were just blown away by Idaho. It really is a beautiful state. There's so many things to do there and all the mountains. Yeah, everything. It was just beautiful. Idaho was, it was a gorgeous state.
And then number two would be Florida.
Yeah.
I know we talk about the mountains and all the scenery a lot, but we also do like beaches.
Yeah.
And being down in Florida with the weather, mm-hmm. and then it gets a little cooler and you get to go with the manatees,
all the springs,
the waterfalls, yeah. And then right on the other side, you have the beaches, mm-hmm. to where you can just, you know, during the middle of January, hang out on the beach or whatever you want to do. And with our e-bikes, you know, we ride up and down the beach with them. So Florida would come in at number two for us.
Mm-hmm. And then number one, which is probably a lot of people's number one, I would imagine, is Utah. Because first of all, there's like the five national parks that are there, and we're like national park junkies now. We're trying to hit every national park that we can with our truck camper, because we never really did it a whole lot with the fifth wheel. You just can't camp inside there. Even if we don't camp in there, I don't know why, we're not really hitting them. But now with the truck camper, that's like our big goal. And to have those five, it's just a beautiful, beautiful state. We loved it. All the rocks and the hiking and the views. I mean, it was just, yeah, Utah is amazing.
So if you tune back in probably within the next year, that don't discount all the places we haven't been. There may be some better places up there. We haven't been up like the Northeast coast.
Yeah, we haven't been anywhere Northeast. So that's true.
That list is subject to change, but definitely, that's it for right now.
I love that you said that. It's so true. Like, your list keeps growing as we like check off our bucket list. It doesn't get shorter. It gets longer as we like see more pictures and, you know, hear of more people's travels. In fact, Utah is number one on our list. We've never been there. And so we are so excited to go. That's like our next planned trip, is to see the Mighty Five National Parks in Utah. We want to spend at least, you know, a couple months there. And Arkansas, definitely. That so surprises me when I see people post about Arkansas. It's like, wow, I didn't know. And a lot of people also have been talking about Idaho. We've never been there too. And it's like, wow, all of these beautiful places to see. And you are right, though. In Florida, we were there for 20 years. It is hard to beat Florida, especially in the winter. It's terrible in the summer. Right. I will not recommend that, but it is awesome in the winter, and you're, you know, on the beach and it's January and everybody's shoveling snow and you're like, this is so gorgeous. Like, this is awesome. And seeing the springs and the manatees and yeah, that there's nothing like it. It really is a great state as well.
Yeah.
I love that you were able to see all of those. And you're right, it will change. As you travel, you'll have a new top five and it will just keep changing. That's the best part about this RV life, is you just keep adding to your top five.
Yeah. We're in California right now and it's like, it's a beautiful state as well. We just got here. And so that's probably going to be the added on there as well.
Oh, awesome. Where are you at in California?
Right now we're in South California. We're in Coachella.
Okay. Never been there. Like I said, our first travel contract was in San Francisco. We stayed in San Jose and then we took another contract. We were in Fresno, which is only like an hour and a half from Yosemite and the Sequoia National Park and Kings Canyon. So we love that area. If you are within driving distance of Big Sur, I highly recommend that. That view was incredible. It was honestly one of the best views we have ever seen. So Big Sur is like 72 miles approximately along the coast. And every time you see it, or every time like I see pictures, it looks like Ireland or like another country. And oh, it is so gorgeous with the big cliffs and the rocks and the water. It's so cool if you get a chance to see that while you're there. If not, you know, make another trip. You know, that's the best part. Just add things to your list.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you. I'm adding that to the list now.
Oh, good. I hope you get to go. And then I know when we first started, and it's probably different for you guys because you're used to RVing, but, you know, all we knew is, you know, just kind of recent stuff. And we were always a little bit leery about RVing, if we were going to be safe, if we were going to be scared about anything. And we talked about boondocking, but have you ever been in an RV park or had any experience where you weren't safe, like in your RV?
No, we've never had any issues. We have always felt safe, even though recently our e-bikes were stolen off the back of our truck camper, off the back of the truck, while we were staying overnight at a Cracker Barrel of all places. Like, we've been out in boondocking, like in the middle of nowhere, never had any issues at a campground, never had any issues. But yeah, it was at a Cracker Barrel. Not Cracker Barrel's fault, obviously, but we've always felt very safe. Like, people even ask us that sometimes, like, do you feel safe out boondocking all by yourself? And I mean, I'm not all by myself, you know, I'm with Shane, obviously, but still, and I'm a big old scaredy cat. I'd be the first to admit, like, everything scares me, but no, I've never felt like unsafe or anything. Mm-hmm. I think I'm more afraid of animals. Like, if if it's dark out and I want to go outside to grab something or anything like that, I'm more scared of like a coyote or something coming up.
Mine, the only time, it doesn't have anything to do with being unsafe from people or worried about somebody break in. There's a lot of times you get to a place and just the weather will sneak up on you.
Oh, that, yeah,
and
that is true.
That weather is probably more dangerous than people.
True.
Or animal. If you're not prepared for it, or if you don't have a plan while you're watching the weather, somewhere to go, it just in case it gets that bad that they're forecasting, then you probably need to leave. But that's the only real danger, I would say, for that we have experienced.
That is such a good point, Shane. I'm so glad you brought that up. It is so true. And even still, we do not have a weather radio, and we talk about it all the time. We got to get one. You don't know what you don't know. And we really want to be aware, especially when you're sleeping. You don't know what's happening in the middle of the night. You know, we've all seen those videos of like tragedy for these RVs. And it's so true. You really do need to be aware of the, you know, weather, you know, check it. It always can change on a dime. time. And sometimes even, you know, the forecasters don't know. So whether radio is a great idea. And I think, you know, everybody I've interviewed and even just people that I've met, there's really not many scary experiences. And I am so glad to hear that, because I don't know, I think a lot of people are hesitant because they think like, oh, I don't know if it's going to be safe. And you hear about, you know, if you watch the news, it's like, oh, it's always bad news and all that. When you are surrounded by other RVers, they're always helpful and kind. They're not in your business, but they're there if you need them. And everybody's kind of looking out for each other because we're all doing the same thing. We're just trying to live our best life and trying to enjoy every moment. So I love that you didn't have any bad experiences in RV park. I hate that you had your e-bike stolen though. I remember seeing that post and it was like, oh no, because we stay at Cracker Barrels as well. And it's nothing, like you said, nothing about Cracker Barrel. It, you know, who knows, they were going to do something to somebody. And unfortunately you were the easiest target. And it's sad because that could happen to anybody. But yeah, I hate that. So did you guys lock your e-bikes up and everything? They just cut it or what happened?
We just had a cable and a master lock that was on there. And I think that when the cops came, I think that there's like a thing going on around there in the town, because they had just busted like a house the day before with like 5 or 6 stolen e-bikes. So they had the tools and they just cut it off like scissors, you know, like it was an easy little cut for them. So we've definitely upgraded locks and we've put motion lights now outside, a camera. We're probably overdoing it now, but that's okay. We want to make sure it doesn't happen again.
Yeah, better safe than sorry. I love the idea of better locks because we use a cable lock too. It's like, you know, just a little small deterrent, but really if anybody wants it, they're going to break through. So, and I love the motion light idea. That's a really great one. Cameras too. You can never go wrong with that. So better safe than sorry. And unfortunately, we all have to learn the hard way until we do something like that. But so we know RVing when we were doing all of our research, we always heard, you know, not if, but when an issue happens with your RV. And we were always so nervous, like, when's it going to happen? What's it going to be? You know, are we going to be able to handle it? And has there been any experiences with traveling in your RV that you've had some issues with?
Yeah, my worst issue, other than just the little pity stuff, is in the fifth wheel, I had a water leak from the shower that was coming down inside two walls. It was coming out of the shower head in between the kitchen and the where the shower, the bathroom is. You just couldn't find it. The floor would be wet. And I, you know, clean it up and you're turning on all the faucets, you can't find anything, but it was leaking out of a valve that's in between a little cutout in between two walls, and I finally found it.
Yeah, water is always your worst enemy in any RV, of course. So yeah, that's probably been our biggest. We had like a tire blowout and it like ripped the whole, this was our old fifth wheel that we had, it ripped the whole side almost off of the camper. Like it did some pretty bad damage. But I mean, like, all in all, like, things happen and you have to learn patience. You have to learn to kind of go with the flow and learn also that it's just part of RV life. Things are going to break, things are going to happen. But then at the same time, like, things are going to break and things are going to happen in your sticks and bricks home as well. Like, it's just part of life. Things are not perfect and they're not going to last forever. So you just have to learn to either figure out how to fix it yourself or you got to take it in.
That is so true. And you do learn that it's not the end of the world. Like, you're going to be able to fix it just like you're in your house. There's nothing perfect, like you said. Yeah, that is good. Do you guys travel with a tire pressure monitoring system?
We do, yes.
Okay, good.
I don't remember which one, but yeah, we have one that...
Tire monitor.
That's what it is. Yeah.
That is so important when you talk about blowouts. Like, that was our biggest concern too, is how do we handle it? Because sometimes you see like the truck and the RV going crazy all over the road. And thankfully we've had a blowout on our dually truck and our fifth wheel, and both of them were okay. But you're so scared, you're scared of the unknown more than anything. And once you kind of have your first blowout under your belt, you're like, okay, we can handle this, we'll be okay. Definitely, we always recommend the tire pressure monitoring system because you just never know, and that could really alert you if there's something going wrong, you know, before it happens. So
add that one to our list of must-haves.
If I can jump back just a little bit, that's another good thing about the truck campers, it don't have tires, so all I'm worried about is my truck tires.
Well, that's true.
Not the other four tires in the back. It makes it a little bit more easier to drive without having to worry about all that stuff.
That's true. And a big savings of not having to replace tires all the time. So that is true. That's a really good point I didn't think about. Yeah, you don't have to worry about towing anything. You just have it on your truck. That is another good thing to think about when you're shopping for your RV. And it sounds like you guys get along so good, so you probably don't have any issues, but is there any tips that you guys do to like keep your sanity?
I definitely would say like you have to have your own space to get away. Like if we're in the fifth wheel, you know, I might be in the bedroom like watching a show or whatever while Shane's out watching football or something. I don't know. Not, you know, just anything to have your own space, your own time away from each other. Shane does like to sit outside a lot, especially if I'm working or something. He's outside. He's like an outside person all the time. So that's, you know, main thing is just kind of make sure that you're able to have some time apart from each other so you don't get on each other's nerves. But it's going to happen. Like we get on each other's nerves. We get on, like it's just part of marriage. Like some people are like, how could you live with a person in such a small space? How do you not get on each other's nerves? And I'm like, listen, we got on each other's nerves when we were in a house. Like it, like it's just, that's part of marriage. You're going to get on each other's nerves. And it's just how you handle that part of it. You know, like we know each other, we've been together for 30 plus years now. So it's a little easier for us. We know what, when we're getting on each other's nerves, Shane knows when I'm getting irritated and he just leaves. He just goes outside.
That's so smart too. And it is true. Like it's really not different. When people saw we had a 4-bedroom home and then we had this 40-foot fifth wheel that we thought was so little and we crack up about it now because we're like, oh, that's a mansion. You know, they would walk in like, oh, how can you do this? And then they walk in now to our 20-foot travel trailer and like, nope, we're out. We can never do this. I don't know how you guys must really like each other. And it like makes us crack up because we're like, wow. I mean, how could you not want to be with each other? And it's the same thing when you're in your home. You know, if you get, like you said, you get on each other's nerves, you give each other space, and it's no different. If you had trouble before in your home, you're going to have trouble in your RV. And if you didn't in your home, you probably won't there. I mean, it's definitely doable. It doesn't matter what the size is. You really do learn to appreciate each other and the role that each other plays in making this smooth. And so I agree. It's definitely doable. It doesn't matter what size you're in. But yeah, when we go back to a fifth wheel, we're going to be like yelling to each other. Can you believe it? Like, can you hear me down there? It's going to be so nice. So you were talking, how do you get your mail again? Like the RV park? Is that your address?
Yeah, where our home base is, we can have stuff mailed to the campground, or we have a PO box there and our son checks it and will send us mail. But if it's something that we need while we're on the road, we have it sent to a campground or an Amazon locker, or we could also have it sent to a general address at a post office. Like we have some mail right now that's going to a post office near where we're going to be back at Quartzsite, and they will hold it for you for 30 days. That's just a tip. If anybody can't find somewhere to have something shipped, you can also have it shipped to like a UPS, I think, and FedEx office. I mean, there's so many ways you can get mail.
Those are good tips. I did not know that. So do you have to check with the post office before you know, let them know you're going to get a package?
Yeah. Like we just call them and ask them just to make sure, hey, we're on the road. Actually, this post office, the lady is the one that told us when we went in there. She's like, oh yeah, you can just have stuff shipped here anytime and we'll hold it for you for 30 days. But we like to give them a call, a heads up, like, hey, we're the Gills. We're having some packages sent there or whatever, you know, and they're like, okay, that's fine. We'll hold them for you.
That is a great tip. I had no idea, and that would surely help, especially when they hold it for 30 days, because a lot of times we're somewhere and we order something and it's like, gosh, we're leaving in 2 weeks. I don't know if it's going to get here. And what if it doesn't? And then, you know, we'll kind of like look ahead. Is there a place that we can ship ahead because we don't really know if it's gonna be here before we leave. So that's really great just to have a safety net in that way. So that's a great tip. Another question we get asked a lot is, because you know, this RV life is so exciting and people want to do it, but they don't know how they're going to make money. And so if you don't mind me asking, how do you guys make money on the road?
Sure. Yeah. That's one of our biggest questions as well. That and the mail. So Shane is retired Air Force. He served 24 years in the Air Force. And so he gets a retirement income coming in. I mean, we could live off of it, but not very well. Like it's not a huge amount of money, but it's great. It helps. And then I have a part-time job where I work for a camping booking app company. So I work part-time with them. I do 20 hours a week. And then the rest of our income comes from content creation for different companies and things like that. We have our own business and we'll take pictures for a campground, or we'll make a reel for a campground, or a camping product or clothes, whatever, you know, it might be.
I love that. I love that you'll do whatever you can, right? Just to be able to make money so that you can still you know, do this life and you're living the life of your dreams and you'll make it work and one way or another. I love that. I love those tips. Very, very good. I love all of the information that you guys share. You really have added things to my bucket list and I know that our listeners will love it as well. Where can everybody follow you to continue following your adventures and see where you go next?
Yeah, so you can find us on pretty much every social media. We are at Gills on Wheels on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube. I think that's it. All of those. Oh yeah, Pinterest as well. I forgot about Pinterest. But yeah, we don't do like Twitter or anything like that. But yeah, you can find us pretty much on every social media at Gills on Wheels.
Awesome. I'm going to include a link in our show notes for all of your social media, as well as the products that you guys talked about and anything else you want to give to our listeners. We'll definitely include a link in the show notes. But this has been such an awesome conversation. You guys have given me so many helpful tips and ideas, and I know that our listeners are getting all the same great information from you guys. I really am so thankful that you guys took the time to talk to me today, and I'm excited to continue watching your adventures, and I'm just excited to see where you go next. Thank you guys so much for your time, and I hope to see you guys on the road.
We would love to see you on the road. We love seeing people on the road, and we really appreciate you having us on here. This is amazing what you're doing, and we also always love to help out, you know, other fellow RVers as well, so yeah, we love that.
I love it. Thank you guys for all you do. And I'll talk to you on Instagram. Thanks so much. Have a great day, guys.
You too. Bye-bye.
Wasn't that conversation so much fun? Patty and Shane love to help RVers, so you definitely need to go follow them everywhere at Gills on Wheels. Also, be sure to visit our show notes for all the links to their information and products they mentioned. You'll also find all the links on our website at roamingyourhome.com/gillsonwheels. Come back each week because I have so many more fun conversations coming up. You'll hear my conversations with Kirsten and Clarence from Move with Mac, Janelle from Wins RV Club, Sarah and Jeff from Wake Up and Wander, Chris and Gary from Big Dog RV, and so many more. You won't want to miss these great conversations filled with so many awesome tips and travel information. I learned so much and I know you will too, so come back each week. Thanks so much for listening, and I hope to see you on the road. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Roam in Your Home podcast and YouTube channel. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love it if you would subscribe to our show and consider giving us a 5-star review. It's free and would mean the world to us and help us grow. If you know anyone who would also enjoy this podcast, please share it with a friend. I would also love to connect with you on Instagram or Facebook at Roam in Your Home. Come back next week for another fun adventure. But until then, stay safe, and we hope to see you on the road.